We bow before you this morning. We acclaim your name. We proclaim your name. We exalt you. We exalt you. We bask in the glory of your presence. The Bible says, thou will show us the path of life. For in your presence there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We revel in you. We trust in you. We look to you. We hold on to you. The unchanging one. The one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one that is, was, and is to come. The Savior of the world. We bless you. We bless you. We glorify. We magnify. In absolute surrender to your Lordship, we lift up our hands without wrath or doubting, thanking you for saving us. Thanking you for giving us eternal life. We bless you. And let the church shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a round of applause this morning. Hallelujah. You may be gracefully seated. Praise be to God forevermore. Can you give the choir a round of applause, the instrumentalists? It's not easy. Some of us must acknowledge. If I was to play, you see, I tried to sing a song. It wasn't just there. If I try to play the keyboard, if I should play the keyboard, they would stop manufacturing keyboards all over the world. They would say, you are too bad. This is the end. And so when you see people with those skill sets, you appreciate them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
How many of us are glad to be in church this morning? Hallelujah. You're glad to be in church? I want you to rise off your feet and just go around and shake somebody. Say, yeah, I welcome you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I welcome you to the Grace Community Church. I welcome you with joy in my heart. Let's relate in love this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do we have first timers in church this morning? Any first timer? Any second timer? Any third timer? Okay, any old timer? Hallelujah. First time, second time, third time, Jesus is Lord all the same. Let us pray. Precious Father, we approach your word humbly, knowing that your power is present to heal. Your Spirit is present to reveal Jesus Christ to us. And beyond the confines of this place, we would live in the light of the Word. Thank you for illumination. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for application. No one will go the same. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Last week we had an introduction to what's the title again, if you can remind me? You know I remember, so if I say to remind me, I'm just being diplomatic. The timeless characteristics of a... I lifted up from a book, that's not original to me. And I, you know, went into study and I love that, how the church should be. And have you heard this phrase before? I don't like Christians. They are all hypocrites. The Holy Ghost, they do this, they do that, and on Sunday they carry their Bible, they go and all that. Hallelujah. But church is not a perfect place. If they are hypocrites, what do you expect? They are human beings. People have their flaws. The church is a hospital. The local assembly is a hospital. Some of us need surgery. Some of us need a band-aid. Some of us need infusion, drip. Some of us just need to change our diet. And so we need to talk to the nutritionist. Some people need to go to the lab to get their blood tested, to get that is how it is spiritually. So when you come to church and you see somebody misbehave or do something, the only solution to it is the word of God and not, so to speak, our human reactions to it. Take this fan away from me. Take it away from me. I don't like this fan today. When I finish, I'll like it. Hallelujah. Church challenges will happen. There will be human misbehavior. We may sometimes offend ourselves. You may hear things that about you that you don't even expect from the person you heard it from and stuff. But the essence of church is to present biblical truth so that we all see ourselves in the mirror. And those things will be brought out to us by the Spirit of God and dealt with by the Word. Then change comes from within. As a human being, I have my weaknesses. My wife is the best I can tell you, or my children. You have yours. Just imagine if the church is a place where the Word of God is now relegated to the background. You cannot understand that until I bring it to the natural. How many of us ate this morning? I drank ogi and moi moi. How many of us did not eat this morning? You're still spiritual. You're going to church. You did not eat. Try to eat something every morning. Okay? If you didn't eat this morning, by afternoon, you will feel hunger pangs. If you didn't eat anything in the afternoon, by evening, you'll be very hungry. You may survive. By tomorrow, you'll be very hungry. By Wednesday, you'll not be able to do many things. And throughout the week, if you didn't eat anything, I'm not talking of all this fasting that we use to deceive ourselves. I remember growing up in a Catholic church, my father would force us to fast when it's this time. And I'll be so hungry. And one of my friends in primary school told me, this is what you do. Just eat anything you want. When you get home, by the wall of your house, just go and kiss the wall like this. And your lips will be dry. And your father will think, oh, you are all fasted away. Say, you are fasting. This one is dry fast. This one is... Go to where there is no food at all. You understand when Paul said, in fastings often. God did not create this human body to go on without food. What do you think the drip and infusion and all these dextrose and glucose is? When you get sick and it's difficult for your... Joe is looking at me. What's it? Is it the digestive system? Or, you know, sometimes every food might smell to you or something. And you are just weak to swallow. But you need the end product of food. They will pass it through your body some other ways. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. So that the body can continue. If we eat every day, that's the essence of all work, by the way. Whether you're a pilot, doctor, engineer, or jobless, is to just eat something so that this body can continue. When the body gets too weak for living, it gives way. And you cannot get more sick than death. Death is the finality of all sickness. Now, if the word of God should be the central theme of not just this local assembly, but the church of Jesus Christ, then imagine if the word of God is now relegated to the background. It means that the church or the local assembly is spiritually malnourished, sick. And it cannot continue. You may be going, flowing through the motions, just coming around on Sundays. Last week, I asked you a simple question. At least you'll have passed by 30, 40 churches before you come here. Why do you keep coming? Why do you keep going to that church? We cannot, in this day of ISIS and Ebola and stuff, you have to be convinced personally of who you believe in. Because you may think, okay, I may call my pastors, but then the phone might fail you in times of testing. Hallelujah. We may have a plan B, but the plan B might fail us. The essence of this word of God declared in church, declared through the units, departmental, or whatever meeting, committee meeting we have, or in our songs, is so that you can pick up the Bible for yourself to read and pick up persuasion for yourself. If there's anything this church, this local assembly is about, that is it. And that takes time for some of us. For all of us. I didn't get to this stage in one day. I've been a believer since 1985. And I've been pastoring since 1994. Yet, this is still the lifeline anchor in times of testing and in times of prosperity. Don't think that life is all about adversity. There's times of prosperity. And when somebody, you know, most poor men, most poor people, hate rich men. If somebody is rich and you hate the person because of his riches, you'll be poor. Because that's not that's not God's plan anyway. But we'll probably get more into that during the Bible studies that the family has started. The struggles of the church are not the demise of the church. There is hardly any church you will go to that you will not find issues, scandals. But the responsibility or the only solution to the challenges we face is still the word of God. We must keep our fingers on the pages of scripture so that it will hold us steady in times of challenges, personal and as a church. How many of us have seen a ship, a giant ship, you know, and about to berth, and they throw its anchor to the shore? The anchor is to hold that ship steady when the waves rock it. We say the Bible, the scriptures, the word of God. We do not worship the Bible. This is paper. Only God knows how many translations there are now, and it can be torn. So we are not worshiping the print, but the God the Bible reveals. This is where it becomes different from every other book. The words in the print lead us to the knowledge of the one whom we worship, whom we love. The text is Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Praise God. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. May we stand together as we read from the scriptures. Hallelujah. Let's read together. After three. 1, 2, 3. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Just verse 42. Let's read it again. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and prayers. You may be seated. When the word of God was preached in the early church, the people saw it for what it was, the word of truth. And they believed it. As a matter of fact, this is how somebody becomes a Christian. The word of salvation comes, you believe it, and then the Holy Spirit of God comes, gives you eternal life, and you become a child of God. Your sins are forgiven. But here we see four things, four essentials of the church. The apostles' doctrine means teaching. Fellowship, number two, breaking of bread and prayer. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. For a church to be the kind of church Jesus promised to build, there must be teaching. Someone say teaching. Teaching is not, of course, it encompasses preaching. You know, preaching is included. But teaching is not the same thing as coming here to read poetry. Teaching is not motivational speaking. Teaching is not positive-minded nuggets here and there. Anointing without annoyance is something else, or something, all rhymes and so, that's not teaching. The world recognizes the principle of teaching. For someone in any secular endeavor to be able to navigate the waters of life, you have to go to school. You have, before you go to school, they have to teach you. This is how you party. This is how you dress. This is what you do. To become an engineer, you have to go to, you can't become an engineer because you just feel like becoming an engineer. You have to go to an engineering school. You have to go to medical school to be a doctor. Somebody will come where you will put everything that is wrong with you, whether your father is alive or half dead, your mother is fine or not, or you have money or no money. You submit to someone who has authority over you in that department, whether it's poorly university or college of education or what have you. You sit and the person passes across instruction for you to understand, to be able to apply so that you become an effective whatever you want to be. For years, doctors study for, is it 8 years or 10 years? Because we can't say six anymore, at least in our climb. Architects study for, I think you guys studied, you know, for 5 years, but they can't practice until after 7 years as well. And then after BSc, MSc, somebody's teaching. Law, the same thing. Books upon books to learn. Ephesians 4:20 makes us to understand that there is a learning in Christ. And that's what I'm talking about to you this morning. They said, the KJV translation says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. One translation says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Who has a different translation? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Nobody with a different... Do you mean all of us use KJV in this church? Just raise your hand. Who? Okay. Yes, another one from this. And they kept their attention fixed on the apostles' teaching. My question to you is, what is the apostles' teaching? Let me help you. The apostles' teaching is not what Pastor Francis, Pastor Aya, Pastor Inka teaches in this church. Hello? The apostles' teaching has been compounded in what you have in your word, the scriptures. He's not saying what my pastor teaches. Amen? Now, your pastor might be a good pastor who teaches you what the word says. 1 Peter 5 says, feed the flock of God with the word. So the apostles' teaching is the scriptures you have in your hand. Today, the apostles' teaching is represented in the word of God, the Bible, the scriptures you have. It's not what my GO, my reverend, my bishop says. It is the timeless, eternal, contemporary word of God. Requisite for all generations. So, they devoted themselves to the teaching of the word, the teaching of the scriptures. Teaching God's truth gives the church of God deep roots that provide nourishment and stability for the individual and for the church as a whole. We will not survive spiritually without the word of God. Look, I want us to understand this. The word of God, it is the word of God that continues to be the watershed issue for every generation. The fight is whether you use the word of God or you are too, you are too dogmatic, or is everything in scripture, or let's put something else for all generations. And the way to contend earnestly for the faith that was delivered unto us is to keep looking at it irrespective of what is happening around us or what is happening to us. The word of God is an anchor. It provides stability. If you see someone who is stable and his heart held in place by the word of God, that person usually is a beautiful person. That person displays grace and maturity, looks beyond the fray of the offenses of others or limitations of his surroundings, and just walks in love, which is the proof of knowledge. Ephesians 3 talks about, and to know the love of God, which is beyond knowledge. There's something beautiful about a soul anchored in the word of God. And the same goes for the local assembly. It is not a competition. It is not, Popsin, you don't know the word of God than I do. And so, because you don't know the word of God, like I'm your pastor, so you cannot correct me. Can you talk to me, Popsin? I would daze you in the Holy Ghost. It's not competition. When the word of God finds you out and shows to you that you are, it doesn't come. The word of God doesn't shout like I'm shouting. I'm the one shouting. This is me. This is not the word of God. This is just my, maybe, personality or training or whatever. The word of God comes and it stays. No matter how stubborn or obstinate you are, I'm not going to do it. It comes because God loves you. It comes gently. It comes with conviction. You know, as a child of God, unless you are not. It comes and it tells you. James said, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. I think there is that humility part that goes a long way in understanding the word of God and living and holding forth to it. If it speaks to you, just take it. Whether it's coming from your child, some of us can become so obstinate that God is setting up our children, they will correct us in the word. They will say, Daddy, but you said, they said this in Sunday school. This is what the word. Bend your soul. The word is coming to you. Praise God. No respecter of persons. No favoritism. It's just the word. So it becomes the serious issue. Right now, some people are saying the word of God is not inspired. I read that this morning. I was like, okay. If the word of God is not inspired, then the only thing we have is the fact that the word of God is inspired. You know what that means? It is God breath. God comes and superintends a man and he writes as he's moved by the Spirit of God. I don't have to be there for me to believe. I don't have to understand the workings of that nature. All I need to do is to receive it by faith. That's what the Bible says. All scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, is inspired of God. All scripture. It is profitable for teaching. Hallelujah. Most people don't even believe in the accuracy of scriptures. They say we have too many translations. They say this. It's like, no, it cannot be. Somebody asks and says, how can the Bible be divinely inspired of God? What's the difference between this and the Quran? That one too can also be. What can I say to that? There's so much I don't even know that I need to discover from God's word. That I don't have time to say the Bible is on the same level with the Quran or any other book. If you believe in whatever religion or whatever you believe, true belief will believe in the absoluteness of what it is that you have. If Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but by me. So you cannot come and tell me that Buddha is another way. Praise God. Our belief in the inerrancy of scriptures is so important. This is God's word. Acts 10:33-43, Paul said, Peter said, we are all here present to hear of thee. Sorry, Cornelius said that. The things commanded by God, so speak, we'll listen. While Peter was still struggling with the fact that God had accepted the Gentiles. The Bible says the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. If we weaken the place of the word, we have begun to starve the church spiritually. Death, even what we call sudden death, is a process. If a cat should come and eat someone or something, the body, there's something that just begins to shut down. And then the doctor will say the time of death actually is this time. If it is a sickness, somebody might be walking. The person might have cancer. The process of dying has begun. When God said, in that day, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you would die. In dying, you shall die. And then we see. Within that period, how old was Adam when he died? Like 9, 30-something years. But between that and Noah was 7th generation to him, it was 120. And by David, it was 70. Now, even pregnancies are lost. Something changed. The process begins. And that's the same way with the place of the word of God. The fact that you don't know it, or you are so, or your world, your own private world, what you believe in, what you see, what tickles your fancy is so real to you, does not mean that what is coming to you, either by way of Bible study or by way of coming to church and they preach to you or they teach you, does not mean that that is the lie. The reason why there is a block against the word of God, the Bible tells us, one of it is the devil. He says, but the God of this world has what? Blinded. So, in trying to come up with big English or big local language to punch holes in the word of God, is the devil at work using you? Praise God. Genesis 3, 1 to 4. We see it. He has not once deviated from his strategy. Not once deviated from his strategy. God told Adam and Eve, do not partake of this tree. When the devil came, he had to first try attack the place of that word. God, he knows that you'll be gods. The Bible says, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. That is out. When he came to Jesus, the same strategy. Jesus applied with a heart understanding of the word to overcome him at that chapter 4 and verse 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so when some leaders gather and say, well, why is it that we have Bible study on Sundays? Everything we do, praise and worship, 10 minutes. Maybe we can use this 1 hour. But what, 2 hours? Let us, look, in my mother's church, 1 hour service. If you go to a church for 1 hour service, you're not a serious Christian. Do you hear me say that? 1 hour, what did you do? Is 1 hour too short, or I'm talking in a setting where there is no war, no riot, no emergency, national emergency. We go to church, we sing to him, and then we talk about the word of God. And everything is about 1 hour. There is a big problem with me as a person. Hallelujah. Those things are felt needs. They call them felt needs. That's what people say, you know. I like that church. Why? Because walking berara. That's the devil. You may have a different opinion. It doesn't matter. Our dedication to scriptures is not just rooted in the reading of it, or in the believing of it, or in the hearing of it, but or the teaching of it, but also in the living of it. This is life. This is the way God designed life to be lived. And anyone who tries to live outside it will not enjoy life to the fullest. Jesus said, I've come to have life, and to give them life, and give them in a more abundant way. The church is not a place. Listen, don't change this the style of the church to follow after suiting for unbelievers. The church is not for unbelievers. Have you ever thought of that? Is that strange to you? What's the meaning of the church? Ecclesia, called out ones from the world. Called out. The church is a place where we teach God's word, we challenge ourselves, we inspire ourselves to go out there and be a blessing to the unbelievers and bring them to the kingdom of God. Not necessarily to my church, my local assembly. Bring them to the kingdom of God. And if coming to the church follows from that, praise God all the same. Hallelujah. The church is a body of people called out from among the world for a distinct purpose. A unique purpose of glorifying the Lord God, their Savior, in all they do. The unbeliever does not need to come to the church to find a world that is the same to his own world out there. And God knows that. Someone will come, uncle of God, you know, if you do this thing, what do unbelievers, not that you don't care for unbelievers or you don't love them, but the mainstay of the church is for the saints to understand what the kingdom of God is all about. The church is not to provide a subculture for the unbelievers. And somebody sings, what's one of these popular songs they sing now? You think me a bonkai? Wait, I'll remember now. Because there was this issue that one small boy said, Pastor Francis, do you know Caro? Who is Caro? Sissy Caro, there is one song. I want Caro. So we come to the church because everybody knows Caro outside, and then we change it to Jesus. Or we try to do things the way they do it. Hallelujah. It's not to provide that. And so we need to guard against compromising the word of God. We have to stretch ourselves. Challenge ourselves. Our congregations, all the churches all over the place, from street to street, need pastors who study the word hard, who will pray hard, who will declare and teach and preach the word of God in a way. This is the essence. I said it earlier. In a way that you become one with your own Bible, to understand the word of God for yourselves and to live life in singleness of purpose in your own privacy. Hallelujah. The pastors are to prepare well-balanced meals. And teach the people how to study the word of God for themselves. That's what gives stability. Hallelujah. So teaching. The apostles' doctrine means what is in this Bible. I could go on that. The second thing mentioned there is what? I can't hear you well. Let's say it together. Fellowship. What do we understand by the word fellowship? Fellowship. Anybody? What do we understand by the word fellowship? You're all looking like me. Okay, let's just, we're gentle. What does fellowship mean? Simple English. Kini fellowship. Someone say fellows in the same ship. Fellows in the same ship. If that ship does not bathe, it will die of hunger on the sea. What does fellowship mean? Do we have an understanding of what fellowship means to you? What's happening? If I ask one more time, I will increase the sermon to 30 minutes. 30 minutes more. What do you understand by fellowship? Let somebody save us, because I won't move from that point. Okay. They want me to move from that point. Okay. Pass it out. Is that thing working?
Togetherness.
Sharing together. Sharing together. Thank you very much. Give them a round of applause. They saved us this morning. If the church were to be a place that stops teaching, then the church would be a school. You just come, teach, and go. Hello, hi, go your way. But the Bible speaks of fellowship. That's the word koinonia. This is not a place that just dispenses information. Like I said, a church is not to survive on teaching alone, not on one gift alone. But it's within a context. A contagious church is within a context. A place where you find the teaching of God's word having its relevant place. And then you find fellowship. It means what they said. Togetherness. Doing things together. Having things in common. It refers to a close mutual relationships. Where we can share our things in common and be involved with one another. Another good way to look at it is sharing life with one another. In good times and bad times. In times of persecution, in times where there is no persecution. Good times and bad times. When we have children. The other time we lost a dear sister. Buki Ogunlayi, Buki Elegbede. Everybody felt it. You can't say, oh, I come to church, it's about teaching. The pastor, I thought the word will go. No, that is your sister. That is someone that we have fellowship with. Oh, I don't know this person. They are getting married. I don't need to know. You don't need to be close to someone in the artificial way. Many of us compare what we should have in the church to what is outside there in the world. The world can be your friend and you become the president. They will coup detach you out of the place and kill you. But the church is different. There's one thing that makes the church different. The fact that the word of God comes and can bring us to the importance of what our friendship, our relationship is all about. Those in fellowship cultivate intimate relationship with others. It's not all about you. Oh, my work tomorrow morning. Sometimes get out of your own routine and be involved. It's not about money. It's not about needs per se. It's about sharing life with one another. That's the best way to describe fellowship. Sitting down maybe to watch a movie together. Oh, a spiritual movie. Talking about issues, getting to know one another, loving on one another, correcting one another, sharing life with one another. So, the word of God is not only learned through the formal teaching while we are in church like today, but also, in fact, the one in the home fellowships, in the cells, it's more personal. There are some issues as a pastor that I would not want to teach. I can't do justice to it on a Sunday morning. But in a cell meeting or when we are talking one-on-one, I can pass across certain truths in a deeper... There's no ears, no limitation of time and stuff. When we have fellowship with one another. And so the Bible says they devoted themselves continually to the what? The apostles' teaching and fellowship. There was no way. These people didn't have cars and stuff. So you can't say, I live in Ikorodu. The person I want to go and see is in Lekki. Ah, that's too much. No, there's no such thing. Lagos is perhaps the smallest state in the country. And you cannot go from Ikorodu to Lekki. Look, people can go from anywhere to anywhere. 2001, when that bomb explosion happened, we were in Pastor Yinka Kuze's auntie's. No, he was telling me his own ordeal. Everybody was telling their ordeal afterwards. When the explosion started in their house here in Maryland, they lived then across the cantonment. When all those things started, the mother of the house said to, whether it's Sule or Suraju, open the gates, we want to drive off. By the time they got themselves ready in 10 minutes, they didn't see Suraju again. They opened the gate themselves. So they were driving towards Shagamu. That's where they saw Suraju with his load on the way to maybe the northern part of the country. Something that you would not do ordinarily to walk, to just begin to walk. Just go on walking. I don't want to die. People can do anything they want to do. You need to sit down, look at Paul's journeys from Pamphylia to Perga to these places. Just going to some places they are preached, they said, to find out whether they are continuing the word of God. And if you see the result in the book of Acts, when they did church this way, it was not that they saw themselves just on Sundays or during the week. They were involved. Do not let technology and communication replace human involvement with your brothers. You hear me say that? There are some times, yes, you can call, you can text. But sometimes you have to go through the rigors of the Lagos hold up and Okada and whether it's public transport, just because you love that brother and you want to go and fellowship with them. Not that you fellowship with the ones you know alone, but the ones that are new among us. The fellowship. The Bible says they had things in common. and they fellowshipped. The word of God in this church, in this original, this is the original church, this is the first church. The word of God was also lived through fellowship. That's what it is about. The third one is breaking of bread. Breaking of bread. Communion. When is our next communion? On the 29th. Communion is actually, breaking of bread is actually like an ordinance. One of the two ordinances. But it's included in teaching and fellowship. Because when we have formal communion, you know, we'll talk about the Lord's death till he comes. We remind ourselves. But breaking of bread specifically refers to the Lord's table. Two ordinances, he told them, baptism and breaking of bread. Baptism represents our conversion to Christ. It is not our conversion. It's symbolic of a spiritual birth. Water baptism is not wrong, but it is not compulsory. It represents what happened on the inside to your spirit being when you got saved. It represents our conversion to Christ. Communion represents our lifelong communion with him. Hallelujah. When people don't understand this, a lot of things happen. In fact, the Bible says, for this reason, many of you seek and die. This is lifelong. An all-inclusive word that one can also use is worship. Worship is not music. It's not when we sing worship songs. It's a lifelong thing. Hallelujah. We'll go into that more as we move on, you know, later. Either me or any of the pastors. And also, the fourth thing mentioned is prayers. They devoted themselves to prayers. For the church to be the church Jesus promised that it will build. For the church to be a contagious church that people will look at your life and see the true brand, if I can use that word, the true nature of Christianity. Don't let me use brand. It's like one of those. No. This is life. There must be prayers. These four is essential in every church. Now, you may have more than four, but you must not have less than these four. And if you now have more than four, the more than the five, the six, the seven, as the local assembly may be, must not relegate and infringe upon the place of these four. Do you understand what I've just said? They must not contradict the word, and they must not obscure the importance of the place of the four essentials in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. They had their issues. If you read on to chapter 6, there were some people who were saying, well, I'm Igbo, I'm Yoruba, I'm Tiv, I'm this one. The Yoruba were the ones serving. You know, Yoruba's love party. Owambe. Kosimbe. The Yorubas, they are one of the problems of this country. Party, 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 party. Even the Hausas now are choosing Ashwebi. Igbo have Ashwebi. Where did he go? Ashwebi. What happened? My chicken got discharged from the veterinary hospital. Ejeka yen yoku pada. Party, Ashota Mamuni. Those things are good. But now it has spread through the landscape of Nigerian culture. By the time Hausa mu Ashwebi come up, that's why there cannot be riot, there cannot be revolution in Lagos, because This is March what? March 9 or what? March 8. My daughter is getting married in August. I have paid $2 million for reception hall. Why would I want you to go and do rally? Allah ma fi wa pa mo lojo nkan eye wa o. There are some halls, reception halls, as we speak, is booked more than 1.5 years in this Lagos now. That is why they continue to chance us. We continue to be resilient. We say, he go better. Let it be better. But a generation will arise and declare the word of God. There will be some generation that say, no way, no more. We won't take this any longer. So it is in that aspect that I said the Yorubas have affected the country. We can talk about that one in fellowship. They had their own issues. They were serving, and the Grecians were complaining that the Jews were serving the Jews and stuff. And then the dealer said, you know what? Look from among you, men full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. Let them take care of this aspect. But we'll devote ourselves first to prayers and to the ministry of the word. He separated the essential from the non-essential. Not that the non-essential should not be catered for, but it must not obscure the place of the word. Everything you do, you must do it in a way that will help your pastors devote themselves to the... That's the two work. Prayers and the word. Prayers and the word. That's the work of the pastor. Then the shepherding aspect takes... If there's no time spent in the study of God's word, there's no spent time in prayers. How? When you call to say this happened, what will the pastor minister? He will run on residual knowledge for so long that you tell yourself, say, the pastor is praying. In the name of Jesus, ayo, everything will be okay. It will be well. The pastor will sleep. He will be burnt out. He will sleep off. And then when the pastor sleeps so tired, he dreams useless dreams. The next day, there's no time to labor. He comes and he says, this is the doctrine from Alakala. Some messages is out of that. You don't know. There is a time to play. There is a time to study. There is a time to pray. This is the work of the pastor. Hallelujah. Put these points down. I know you know about prayers. I'm not going to belabor the prayer point. The point of prayer. Because, for example, Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayers and watching the same with thanksgiving. Verse 17 says, Epaphras was one of you, that he was always laboring in prayers, that you might stand, what? Complete. Mature in Christ. That's what prayer does. Put these points down. Clear biblical thinking must override secular thinking and secular planning. Clear biblical thinking must override secular thinking or secular planning. That means the way the world plans. And which department is in charge of bulletins? Which department? Who is in charge of? Let me just see your hand. Okay. So these points, I want them in a bulletin next week. One put on the notice board. And then we look at it over and over again. Number two, always think spiritually. Look at the spiritual angle. That's what that means. Think spiritually. When issues come, when things come, think spiritually. Do not look at it from just the world's way. Number three, our teachings must be biblical. Must be biblically based. And spiritually inclined. That's about living it. It's not just, oh, we are saying it, but we want to live it. We want to try. We want to attempt to live it. Our foundation classes, our departmental meetings, our small group meetings must center on the teaching of the Bible and spiritual lessons. All these things I'm saying, I'm not saying that we have not been doing that. Praise God. In this church, as it were, this message is not just for this church. This is what we should do. Our songs and hymns must have spiritual content. Our songs, you can't just sing every song and sing. And you sing outside the revelation of Scripture. And sometimes the songs with the very wonderful melodies are the zero ones. Sometimes. But the spiritual content, what are you singing? Don't let just your children sing every song. Well, it's harmless. It's just Wizkid. It's Davido. Who is Wizkid? We are talking about you teaching a child a soul. You are growing a soul to become an individual, released into the world for the glory of God. You cannot let just your children listen to any and everything. Hallelujah. In the name of being culturally relevant. And those children, they know more than the parents. The parents don't know or they don't understand. But then by the time they grow up to a point, you see that they know more than you. The generation is, you don't know what's going on. You think that 3-year-old, that 4-year-old is just, my gentle boy, my gentle girl. Let her be. See, sometimes I pretend that I want to sleep. I was telling Popsy yesterday, I'll just call my children, come into the room, come and sit, play. I pretend I'm trying to sleep so that I can hear them in their real sense. I don't want the behavior, oh, this is daddy's behavior. This is so you say things like this. You need to read your children. They are books written by God for you to read. And you will help shape and guide them. You are not to write them. You can't write them because they already came with their bent from God. It's only God that knows what they will become. You are to observe. Plan your life in such a way that you can spend yourself with your children. Sometimes to do that, you have to make a sacrifice of pay cut or no money just because you want to grow a soul. Did nobody tell you before you had the child? Any fool can impregnate a woman and become whatever, or baby daddy or baby mama. But it takes a man or a woman committed to the word of God to be a parent, a mother indeed. So you know your children's ways, you know their tendencies. Have you ever wondered? You have fishes in the ocean. The Atlantic Ocean is salty, right? Or is it the Pacific? Which one? The Atlantic is salty. Have you asked yourself, how come when we cook fish, we still put salt in it? Maybe it is in a salty ocean, in a salty environment. Because God created it with a kind of, what do you call it now? Is it a mechanism that prevents the salt from getting into the system to destroy it? So the world may become very bad and very corrupt and vile. It does not mean that you cannot use the word of God to your advantage to insulate your children from the vile environment around you. That's just by the way. We'll talk about that when we have a meeting on parenting. Hallelujah. Because no parent knows it all. Children are different and they did not come with a manual of this is how you raise. In fact, as you are getting weaker physically, they are getting stronger. And so there will be a point where you cannot beat them any longer, you cannot do anything, and they will just take over completely. So you must learn to break the will of a child the right way. You rein it like a horse. You bring it in to submit to the authority of God's word. If you are that submitted, Your children must know about prayer. We pray in this house. We read the Bible. We do Bible study. There's nowhere I travel to that I will not have Bible study with my children. I will not use distance to say, well, you know, well, daddy traveled. Life is being lived. So whether I like it or not, I have to get, you know, to adjust to the time difference wherever I am. Okay, go get your Bibles. Thank God for technology. And then 10, 15 minutes, let it be consistent. You are growing a soul. Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:15, that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make you wise and grow into salvation. That's the work you have. That's your most prized possession. Your children. You should not love your children beyond God. You love them the way God says you should love them. Oh, you know, when you first have your first child, you'll be like, oh, meaning me. This is me. Oh, Jomi, Kojomi, Baba Elojo, Iye Elojo. El Motuntu, Aba Eyo, Towaye. We sing all those songs and that boy is going to tear your Bible. That guy is going to do stuff to you. That guy can pee on your head. That boy would disturb your sleep. You will not remember all those songs again. So you have to be prepared. It's called preparation. And this is what church, this is what the word is about. To prepare you. To prepare. Sometimes you might have, once I told my kids, I said, I want to teach you about two kinds of report. Good report and bad report. When they call me from your school, it must be good report. These are the things called good report. This is bad report. When they call you, it's about your child. Ah! Your mind can race to different things. It's only the word of God that holds the heart steady. You may not understand if you don't have a child yet. And if you do have children, you definitely, what I'm saying will resonate with you. You need the word of God to hold your heart in place. Life is not all rosy. If you want to be off from that kind of wahala, don't have children. You can have dogs. I live in a place where dogs are. I met people say, oh, we don't want to have children, just dogs. And those dogs are children to them, and they do everything. They won't even give will to them. Allah, I'm assuring you. Some dogs cry at the funeral of their masters. Kadaratienye. Aja, dog. But my point is this. We need to be prepared. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. I remember your grandmother, your mother, and I persuaded the faith that was in them was in you. And he charged the young man. He was pastoring the largest church in Asia Minor. He charged him to continue in the word, to continue to preach the word. Because this is what makes you different as a person. This is what will make you enjoy your life now and in the future. 1 Timothy 4:7. Rather exercise yourself to godliness because it is profitable for the life that now is and the one which is to come. When you read your Bible, it's not futile. When you pray, it's not futile. When you impart your children with those words of wisdom, it is not futile. It has an immense advantage that you cannot see. It's like you are planting a seed of mustard that will probably grow up into a giant, mighty oak tree that you may not end up sitting down to enjoy the shadow of those big leaves, a mighty tree. That's how it is with a child. Why do you think Jesus said it is better? Woe unto the man who leads these children astray. It is like you put a millstone around the neck of that man and you throw him into the sea. The word is, you know, children, I learn a lot from children. They are more, I don't know, I can't teach them. I thank God for those who teach in children's church. I learn in my own special way. They have faith. If I tell, well, my last one that I'm a superman, he will believe me. But if I tell the first one that I'm a superman, he won't believe me. Otigbon. If you say, mommy is a superwoman, they will believe. They just have that childlike faith. They just believe. They just hold you to it and that's it. Why do you think peer pressure is greater than parental influence? I don't know. Maybe the Lord wants me to. I can pause. Why do you think peer pressure is greater than parental influence? You give birth to your child. You raise a child up for many years. Goes off to university. You have values. This is how we do in our house and all that. And somebody that your child has never seen from nowhere makes your child disobey you. Have you thought about it? You all know what I'm talking about because you did the same to your parents. Some people can die for their friends. Some people will disobey their parents to attend their friend's party. If you have those clients, let me see your hand. It happened to you. Don't worry, you can leave the hand. A real con jail. Life, you only have a short time to impart these truths and trust God that they will come back home if they go astray. But if not, praise God. But now the world is a more dangerous place to live. These are perilous times indeed. What do you think you're going to give your children that will make them different from the world, that will make them become solution providers to this rotten generation other than the word of God? So we have to be committed. If the church you come to is not committed, then what's the problem bringing your own child to a children's church that they are not teaching the word? What's the point? Do you understand what I'm saying? The word of God cuts across every fabric of everything that we do in church. This is what it is about. You don't live your life in the church. You live your life out there, bombarded by different things every day. And it's only through the word and the help of the Holy Spirit that we navigate those waters. What number were we before we digressed? Number? Our songs. I've talked about that. Our counseling and offering of advice to one another must be derived from the spirit revelations of the scripture. Our relationships with one another need to have spiritual priorities. The church ought to be a place where spiritual thinking overrides everything else. Don't do things because you like it or because one church did. Remember in the church building campaign that we had, it said we will not compare ourselves to any other ministry. The fact that they are doing it and it's working for them does not mean, oh, let's do it so that it will work for us too. We can learn from them, but that is not... People live in the opinion of others about them. How many of you can live in a block of 12 flats and everybody has 2 cars? Brand new from maybe 2012 to 2015, and you are using a 1960 Beetle. That if it is coming from like afar off, it goes, you know, that the way his exhaust does pow, pow, and it's always stopping. And you have to push, or your wife pushes the. Do you know what is called unspoken pressure? A pressure you bring upon yourself because you think this is what others are thinking about you. So you have to do this to go in tandem with others. Come and say, ah, this stage, let it join me. You know, my colleague. Once I told my mother, I didn't come into the world to build a house. Ah, wakere okodele. No! The Bible says God called Abraham out by faith. It's good to have your harvest, but I know the heart from where they are coming, so I was going to attack her that day. This is what is important. If you build a house, you own a house, praise God. But that is not your sole purpose in life. That's not why you live. In Germany, the majority of Germans rent houses. They don't own houses. You can live different from all these pressures. This pressure. Oh, I'm getting 30. I don't have a husband. I don't have a wife. I'm getting to be 40. Which one? Do you know how many messed up you? Some marriages in counseling, you know that the two of you, if I was God, the two of you should not have married. I heard of a place, of a couple, a young couple. They had a child, and the child was crying. They didn't know that when a child cries, you feed the child. One 19 and 18 year old children themselves. And the guy was so mad, didn't let me sleep. I started beating the baby. I'm talking of a 3-month-old baby. Beat the baby. So much that they had to use an air ambulance to carry that baby. More than 16 fractures. What do you say to that? You look back, you know that he's parenting. There's something wrong. Either Otifagbo or something is. Why would you beat a baby? Just feed the baby. You start beating the baby. I can't remember what they gave them, whether it was 50-something years or life or so. Another one microwaved his baby because the baby was crying. And the stupid thing, the wife said, oh, he's a good husband. You know, I don't know what happened. He's a wonderful father. And you take a baby and you put it in the microwave and microwave so that the baby will stop crying. And don't think those things are just for the Western world. They are here already. You know, internet has accelerated sin. So people know what is going on. Gone are the days where you don't know what's going on in UK or America. Now, just go on www.mofegbeboru. You will see it. You see it straight. Hallelujah. The church is a spiritual entity. There's someone we look to. There's someone we submit to. There's someone we hear from. And we have Bibles to check. Don't give yourself, don't put yourself under any pressure. The Lord owns you. Did you ask for permission back from God to be born into your parents' family? To come into the world? The world knows, he knows your ways. He knows your frame. He knows the past, the present, the future, more than you can adequately recollect the last 5 seconds. He knows the right time for you. All you need to busy yourself is to be learning the word. Humble. Receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save your soul. Let the keyboardist get on that thing. Hallelujah. What's his name again? Sam. There's something about Samuel that has to do with priestly duties. From the Old Testament to our church. We have Sam Inwanzi. He's been playing keyboard since forever. And then we have another Sam playing. Maybe my next child, I'll name him Sam. Hallelujah. Samuel, where are you? And lastly, our decisions must originate from God's word and not human opinions. A true spiritual mindset comes from the revelation of scriptures. The word of God ought to control everything that we do in the church. Thank you, sir. When you see a big man playing for you for years, it's an asset. You know, we appreciate your mistrelic ministrations. Every leader in the Grace community, every executive member, we call ESCO, elder. Every departmental meeting should have the scriptures as the basis of the decisions that are made. From the pastorate, the pastoral council, the pastor, everything we do must originate from the word of God. Our Bible study, this is the reason we have Bible study. This is the reason we have church. This is the reason we sing. This is the reason we have all night love feast or what have you. This is our basis of operation. Is our guide. It shapes, the word of God shapes our current thinking. It shapes our future planning as a church and as a people and as individuals. The Grace Community, this church is about building the church of God, God's way. And God's way is only found in God's word. Let's stand to our feet. We'll continue next Sunday.